Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. That was our theme song at Lighthouse Baptist in Mustang. We sang that when we had visitation. Each time we had visitation, we'd sing that song to just kind of get our hearts in the right mode of what we're getting ready to do. And I love that song. Amen. Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. I'm excited. Got to know a little bit more about your church the last few months, really, I guess, and not really knowing a lot about what was going on up here, but it's exciting to see God doing some great things. I was able to be in an ordination, and boy, God's just doing good things, and He wants to use you. Amen?
Amen.
He does. He wants to use every church that's willing to put themselves out there and just stand for the truth and reach out, and that's a good thing. Well, this isn't necessarily my text, but it's where we're going to start today, so we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. All right, Hebrews in chapter 12, just to get us a little bit of a start of the idea and what we're wanting to find in the portion of scriptures that we'll be looking at. So we're going to be chapter 12, beginning in verse number 28 and 29. It says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Just want to thank you for this day. And Father, I ask that you'd help me as I bring forth your message, that I would do it in the fashion that you would want it to be done. God, I pray that you'd speak through me today and that, God, you would be the one revealed. I just pray that you'd help each one of us, that our hearts would be open and ready to receive your word. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Chapter 12 here is a beautiful portion of scriptures. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and it's really talking about our labor here, and we're working. It's an ongoing work, and we have a lot to do. Amen. One of the things that bogs us down a lot of times in our Christian life is getting hung up on things that are already settled. For instance, our salvation. And we get hung up, and multitudes of churches actually teach that you can lose your salvation. And I believe a lot of times we as believers will go through times, especially when we're not in the Word, when we're not on our knees, when we're not in church, we'll go times when we question our salvation, or at least question our position and who we are. But can I tell you something? If you're saved, you're a child of God. And your position is in Christ Jesus, and you need to live in that fashion and quit worrying about all the other stuff. And I think that's kind of what it's talking about for the most part in the chapter here, is the fact that we've got to get on with our life. And we've got to serve Him. And so God tells us here a little bit about that service. It says, "whereby we may serve Him acceptably." How? And it goes back there in just four simple words. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. For I thank God for His grace. Amen. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We love that portion of scriptures, and we understand that pertaining to our salvation. We understand that so many people are determined they're going to earn their way there, which would be impossible for them to do because they'd have to pay their sin debt, and the wages of sin is death. Amen. But thank God for His grace. His unmerited favor that was extended to us so that we could be saved when there was no way we could be saved otherwise. But here's the thing that we as believers fail to understand a lot of times. And that is, the grace that God extends is not just for our salvation. In fact, salvation by grace is a wonderful thing, but the word grace has to do with an enabling power. God enabled us with the power through the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And God enables us to do all things through that same enabling power. For a second, look at 2 Corinthians with me. Just back a little bit. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about this grace. And boy, the New Testament is filled with grace. Amen. I mean, you read through it and you'll see God's grace over and over again. But in chapter 12 and verse number 9, it says, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, it's pretty simple here. God says it's better off if you'll get weak and let God do the work instead of trying to do it yourself. Just surrender to Him and allow His grace to work through you, and He'll give you the grace to accomplish whatever He asks you to do. Not just power to save, but power to live by. So grace is much more than just salvation. Grace is the enabling power of God to live the life that God wants you to live. That's why 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We need to continually be growing in grace. I wish I could say that there comes a time in your life when it gets easier to serve God, but could I tell you, I haven't got there yet. In fact, I find sometimes it's even harder, because the truth is my physical abilities have been diminished and my mental abilities have been diminished, and sometimes just getting around and doing the things that I want to do for God is difficult, and I still need His grace more than I ever did. Faith, it seems like it ought to get easier, but I'm going to show you a little bit of scriptures a little bit later of a man by the name of Abraham. And let me tell you, Abraham had faith that saved him when he went out and followed God to go in the wilderness. But it was sometime later on in his life that God asked him to be willing to give his son. Probably the hardest thing a man was ever asked to do outside of our God Himself is for Abraham to offer his son. That was a step of faith. And it was a big one. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy. So, before I start, I just want to make this statement then. I can do anything God wants me to do. Okay? That's what the enabling grace, and that's why God tells us to continue to grow in grace, because God wants us to be able to do those things that He asks us to do, and He enables us to do them, and I can do them, and so can you, if God asks you to do it. So with that in mind, go back to 1 Kings with me. 1 Kings in chapter 17. And I want to look at a portion of scriptures here that I know you're familiar with. And so I'm not going to pretend that you don't know what we're talking about here. You've read this story. You've heard it preached on. And you've probably heard it hundreds of times preached on if you've been in church any length of time. But it's a beautiful story. And I want us to look at it just a little bit again. So here in chapter 17, I'm in 2 Kings. I wanted 1 Kings, chapter 17. And I want to look beginning in verse number 9 here and look at this just a little bit here. It says, it's talking to the man of God here, okay, and Elijah. And it says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and then he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Wow. What a story. Elijah, the man of God. And in honesty, as we look at this portion of scriptures, we understand that he is at center stage here. God used him in a mighty way, and certainly God is directing him and taking care of him just like God said he would, and he's helped him. He went by the brook and he took care of him by the brook and in an amazing way, and then the brook dried up, and so he moved him on, and he told him, "I want you to go. I've prepared a lady, and I want you to go over there, and she's going to take care of you, and it's all going to be good there." And certainly Elijah shows us that he was a man of faith. We understand he went through some shaky times. Every believer will. But he kept his eyes on the Lord, and he kept following and listening to God. When he would tell him to move, he would do so. But the truth is, this little portion of scriptures right here, to me, really is not about the faith of Elijah. It's about the faith of a little widow lady. I like the way it's stated there, because I think it's something that we lack in a lot of times in our own Christian life. But it says, when he told Elijah to go to this woman, he says, "I have commanded a widow lady there." Now, that was before he ever got there. So this woman has already been spoken to by God that there's a man coming, and you're going to feed him. And she's already mulling over in her head, "I don't have anything, God, to feed him with. I don't know how I'm going to do this. There's no way I can possibly feed this man. I don't have enough to take care of myself." And here she, but get this, she was commanded. Do you realize that when God asks you to do something, we a lot of times we get this idea, well, he's asking for my permission. He's not asking for your permission. He's commanding you. I mean, the Great Commission is not a suggestion. Amen. It's a go ye into all the world. That's a command. That when the Bible says pray without ceasing, do you understand that's not a suggestion, that's a command. When the Bible says to study the word, to show thyself approved, to work with thee, not to be ashamed, that's not a suggestion, that's a command. And when the Bible says take care of the man of God, that's not a suggestion. I have commanded a widow lady to take care of you. And so he comes this widow lady who had nothing. And the truth is, I sometimes, preacher, I think you understand this, and I don't want anybody to get confused, so let me try to help you. I'm not trying to help you, preacher. I'm trying to help us all here. I preach about giving. And for years and years, I've heard this, all you care about is giving. Well, I don't preach. I've preached very little on giving as compared to all the other things, because I try to preach the whole counsel of God. But the truth is it is hard to preach sometimes about giving, because we have some folks like this lady here that don't have a whole lot. And I'm asking you to do something beyond your ability that you're not able to do, and I know that you're not able to do it, but I also know that if you'll do what God tells you to do, God will give you the ability to do it and also take care of you. So here's the thing, Elijah, why would you go to a widow lady to take care of you? You're a grown man. This lady doesn't have anything. And he'd have to look back and say, "Hey, it's God's idea, not mine. This isn't my idea. God told me, he says, I've commanded a lady to take care of you. So here we go. I'm going to listen to God." I can't hardly preach without talking about a lady in my life, and she was an impression upon my family and upon me early in my ministry. She was Grandma Booth's, what we called her. Grandma Booth was just one of those ladies that made an impact. I wish I had her faith today. I wish I had her walk today. Grandma Booth was one of those ladies that she was a witness everywhere she went. And when she went in a grocery store, people would come to her and start asking her about salvation. I've seen her. I went in a store. She didn't know I was there, and she was in there. And a lady walked up to her and started talking to her. Before long, she was crying and bowing her head. Grandma Booth would call me. She had some physical problems that caused her not to be able to get out sometimes, and she'd call me and say, "Preacher, you got to come over to my house." She says, "I got somebody I wanted to meet. You want you to meet?" And I'd go over to her house. This happened to me two times in a couple of years that I was her pastor. And she says, "I got somebody I want you to meet." And I went over to her house, and she says, "Come on, preacher." And there'd be this guy sitting on the couch, and he'd just be a ball in there. And I'd say, "Grandma Booth, what's going on?" She says, "Preacher, I didn't feel like I could get out and talk to people about the Lord today, so I just got on my knees and asked God to send somebody to me. Tell the preacher what you did, Mister. I got saved." Grandma Booth had a small pension. She didn't get Social Security. Her husband worked for the railroad back in the years, and railroad worker, somebody didn't get in on that. And the pension, the railroad that he worked for went broke, lost all his pension. She got just a handful of money. But every month, I could count on this, Grandma Booth would show up with her tithe check. And every month, Grandma Booth would show up with her missions check. And it never failed. Every month, Grandma Booth would show up at the church, and she would come to me, and she says, "Preacher, how are you doing?" And I'd reach out, and there'd be a $20 bill or something in her hand that she would give me. And I'd say, "Grandma, Sister Booth, you don't need to do that." She says, "Don't you steal a blessing from me, preacher." She understood grace. We still, when me and Ma are gone, there'll be a fight. They've already started the fight. My four kids are going to fight over the lamp. The lamp that she gave us. 1 month she brought us just it was hers. It wasn't nothing fancy, but just a brass lamp with a globe on the top, a hurricane lamp. And she says, "Preacher, I just wanted to give this to you this month. Is that okay?" "You don't need to do it." "No, I want you to have this." And it's on our mantle in the house. It doesn't look like much. It's tarnished. The glass broke. But they're going to fight over that because that's a God moment. Something special that she was able to do. I'm amazed sometimes at how God works. His ways certainly aren't ours, are they? But the truth is, he does really work. And so we note again that it says, "I have commanded a widow lady there." So we have the widow lady's command. Her command was to sustain the man of God. That word sustain means to keep, to feed, to make provision for. She is commanded to feed and make provision for this man and make sure that he's taken care of. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get these commands, I have some questions. You know, I mean, like, God, I don't have anything. How am I supposed to do this? How am I going to take care of this? I don't understand. God, you're going to have to help me here. It's a drought. I have nothing. Nobody has anything. There's no place to go. There's no Social Security. There's no welfare. There's no place. How am I going to take care of this? I have just a little oil and a little meal, and that's all I have. And I have a son. I've got to take care of my son. I've been asked the question a lot of times when God spoke to people about doing things. How am I going to do that? And she didn't even know the man. This is a stranger that's come to her. But God commanded. God commanded. Now we understand the conflict. I've talked about that just a little bit, but she didn't have anything. She didn't have bread. She had very little oil, no meal. She had a son. And here was her attitude. If you look at verse number 12, she says, "I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." She wasn't necessarily an optimist. Of course, you know, dying can be good if you know God, so that's not necessarily bad. But she wasn't an optimist. This was a conflict for her. She's having to come to the place of giving it all. Not just some, she's being asked to give it all. Take care of the man of God first, and there's enough for him. If it was just enough for her and her son to eat a meal and die, then I could tell you this man of God's going to eat all of that. But I think it said over there, his grace is sufficient in our weakness. In our weakness. You getting that? God's not asking you to do something when he asks you to serve him that's in your ability. In fact, you'd be better to give up on your abilities and your talents and all of that stuff and just give what you have to God. This widow had a faith. She's at a faith moment. And the only choice she has is to obey God or disobey him. Faith is obedience to authority. God told her what to do. The only way that she can act in faith is by being obedient and doing what God asked her to do. So before we go on and get more serious, what's keeping us from being obedient? What would God be asking you to do? Maybe God would be asking you to give more. See, I don't have no way. There's no way I could give more. Wait a second. His grace is sufficient. Well, but I just don't know how I can do it. Talk to this lady here. God put her in there so you could talk to her just a second. How did you do that? She says, I don't know. He said to go do it, so I went and did it. He says, go make me some first and bring it back. Okay. That's what God commanded her to do it. The man of God asked her to do it. Wow. Conflict. But he says, all grace abound towards you. All grace abound towards you. The widow's concern. Give my son? You're asking me to sacrifice my son? Now keep your hand in there. Go over to Genesis chapter 22. This is an amazing portion of scriptures to me. Is Abraham is asked. He's commanded as well. Get your son and go up, and you're going to offer your son. You're going to take your son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the Mount Moriah and offer him. It's very clear in verse number 2 of Genesis 22. Offer him there for a burnt offering. And it's a 3 days journey there. Can you imagine what went through his heart for 3 days as he's going through this thing, thinking about, I'm going to offer my son a sacrifice, who I in my old age was born unto me and supposed to be the seed of God that's going to spread throughout the land and bring blessing upon the world. And he says, God's asked me to give my son. But I noticed a couple things I was looking at. Look at verse number 1 and the very end of that. Well, just read the whole verse. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I, here I am. And I read that portion of scripture and I got to thinking, and I began to study this out. Here I am. Here I am is a positional statement. Okay? It's not a bad statement. Okay, you all could say that today. Here I am. Okay, here I am. Are you here? Yes, I'm here. Okay, that's a positional statement. And so God speaks to him. He says, here I am. And we know God speaks to him. And we already know he's a man of faith because this is later on in his life. Okay, and so we know he's a man of faith. It's already been proven that. But here he is and God tells him to do something. And he packs up and he gets ready to go out and he goes to do what he's asked to do. But I want you to look over at verse number 11. This is after he's done what he's supposed to do, or he's gone to where he's supposed to be, and he's there with the Lord, and he's going forth doing what he's supposed to do. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, now listen to this, here am I. Now, the first time he says, here I am. This time he says, here am I. The first time it's positional. The second time, it's presentational. Here am I. You see, a son would say, here I am. A servant would say, here am I. Abraham, in his heart, even being a man of faith, made a transition from being just a son to now we see him as he's spoken to as a servant. A servant. You see, this woman's being asked to give up everything. At first, I believe we'd probably heard her say, here I am. God commanded her. But when the man of God said to her, go take care of me first, she became at that point in her heart as she made that decision, a servant. Here am I. And she made for him and she complied with what he asked her to do. So we see the widow's compliance in verse number 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And she and he and her household did eat many days. She did what she was asked to do. Oh, sweet surrender. God's so good when we just surrender. When we quit fighting and quit saying, I don't know God, I don't think I can do it, I'm just not sure, you're asking too much of me. When we get over ourselves and we get back to the place of realizing this is a God thing and God's asked me to do something, when we get to that place and we say, okay, I give up, oh, God can do some great things. I've seen it in my life and I hope that you have, but the truth is I keep having to learn it. Because grace is a process. That's why it tells us to continue to grow in grace. I remember one day we were starting a work and God had blessed. I mean, He had blessed. If I had time this morning, I would tell you all the things He had done for me. But the truth is that we started the church. At the day we started it, we didn't have any support. I didn't have a job. And we started the work and started preaching there. And we had nothing when we started. Somebody helped us rent a house. We moved our stuff into it. Every morning there was groceries on the front porch. We don't know where they came from. For 6 months, there's groceries on the front porch. We started that church, and from day one, God took care of us. I never had to work a job. I never drew a penny in support. I never had anybody. God just made, just from day one. We were living in a three-story log cabin mansion. Basically, the superintendent of schools had built it, and then he changed schools, and he couldn't get anybody to buy it, and so he decided to rent it, and we rented it for what we was renting our trailer house for. And I'm sitting there, and I get my paycheck out, and I began to look at the bills and the paycheck, and they weren't going to match. And I thought, oh, my. And I thought, I'd already written out our tithe and our faith promise, because that was first. And I said, God, this isn't enough. And God spoke to me just as clear as I'm speaking to you. He says, why don't you just give it all to me then? I mean, if it ain't going to be enough, just give it all to me. And I sit there and I wrestled with that. I'll be honest, I wrestled with that. But I knew it was God, and I said, okay. And so I went to my wife. She was there. And I said, honey, I says, here's the thing. I sat down and I figured this all up, and there's not enough to. And by the way, I'm not suggesting, get this right now. This is a disclaimer. Don't do this every week, okay? But I sat there and I said, honey, God spoke to me to just give it all back to Him, the whole check, just write the whole check back. And she said, well, if God spoke to you, you better do it. It's nice to have a wife, especially in our ministry that's that way. So we wrote our tithe and missions out, and then we wrote the rest of it out and put it in the church, the whole check. This is as clear as I can make it. We had put it on the mantle above our fireplace in that house, and the door knocked. And I went and answered the door. It's one of our men of our church. He says, Brother Carter, he says, I hate to ask you this. But he says, I've got some equipment that I need picked up. Could you go up to such and such tomorrow and pick it up and bring it back? And he says, I'll give you X amount of dollars. Well, guess what he's going to give me? The same amount I wrote the check for, exactly. He said, I'll give you for one day work. Amen. I thought, wow. Okay, I can do that. And so I shut the door and I said, well, God's gave it back to us once. You know what? Before the end of the week is, He gave it back to us four times. Yeah. I'm just saying, sweet surrender. It's a wonderful thing. By the way, do you know faith comes in cans? I mean, faith doesn't come to people that can't. It comes to people that are willing and just can. If you do what God asks you to do, God will take care of you. How could I ever doubt God? I've seen Him take care of me time and time again. By the way, I got to share another story. You guys aren't going anywhere anyway. You're sitting still good. This just happened to me. I wrecked my vehicle. I was taking my grandkids back to the airport. Their dad was following me with my oldest son. That's always nice when you have an accident. And I wasn't paying attention, and I hit a curb. The median and road started in the middle of nowhere, and I wasn't paying attention. I was talking to them at 6:30 in the morning and dark, and I hit the curb, hit the first Well, I blew both tires out on the driver's side, and all the airbags down the side, and the seat exploded. What a dummy. I pulled it over the side, and my boys are there. You guys okay? And I know what they're thinking. That's dumb, Dad. But that's okay. Had it towed in. Insurance company calls me and said, we're totaling it. Totaling it. I said, there's not even a scratch on it. Two tires blown. And yeah, the airbags deployed and everything. Well, I drove cars for 50 years without airbags. I think, you know, this doesn't really scare me a whole lot. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. First of all, they appraised it for more than I bought it a year ago, and they appraised it for more than what I gave for it a year ago. I owed $10,400 on it. They said, we're going to pay it off, and then we're going to salvage it, and we're going to send you a check for, the remainder of it, which was another, $800. I said, well, what if I bought it back? And they said, well, that would be $7,000, so that's going to give me $8,000. They said, give us $7,000 for it. We'll send you the check for the $800, and you can have the vehicle. Okay. So I went and I got the vehicle, brought it home, put two tires on it, cut the things out, put the headliner up, and put it back in until it happened. My wife super glued the seat. And it's sitting out here in a parking lot. It cost me $450 to put it back in shape. Now, you say, what are you telling us that for? I was in service here in Choctaw here last week, and the missionary was speaking there, and all of a sudden it hit me, because he's talking about how God gives back and things. And I said, I wonder. And of course, the biggest problem we had on this thing is I got almost $11,000 profit. I mean, then it hit me. I don't have enough money to tithe on $11,000. So God's going to have to bless me to be able to tithe. But as I'm sitting there in that service there, then I got to thinking, because why did God do that? I mean, it was my mistake. And so I figured my faith promise. And do you realize it came out within $100 of my faith promise for this year? God told me, he said, see, I'll take care of you. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I mean, but every year God shows me how I can do it. A little widow ladies ask, give that which you don't have. Be willing to sacrifice your son and yourself and give beyond what you're able. And I can imagine what's going on in her heart as God has commanded her that, and she's waiting for the man of God, and then a stranger shows up and says, okay, I know you just have enough for yourself, but don't worry about yourself. Go take care of mine first, and then come back, and we'll see how it goes. And the 8 many days thereafter, all 3 of them, God's grace is sufficient. The enabling power of God to give, to go, to tell, to serve, it's just amazing. In verse 14 it says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I can't explain it. I can't explain obedience to God and how it works. I can't explain. Listen, when we went to start our first church, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. They didn't even have a class on church planning when I was in college. I was sent out, and I just went out there and started. I knew you knocked doors. I knew you had to have a sending church. I knew you talked to people about the Lord and try to win people to the Lord and encourage them to come to church. And we had to have a place to meet, so we met in our living room. I mean, we didn't have a clue, but you know what? God's grace is sufficient. I tell you, I wish I could just pour out my heart and let you see all the things God has done simply because we just stepped out. We've left every town. We didn't even know about support for the first 8 or 9 churches we started. In fact, we started Mustang. I had 5 churches that helped us. We didn't have support when we went in there. We got a job. I've worked most of my ministry. Support's a new thing for me. But we would resign the church with nothing in the bank And because it just started paying me a full-time salary and they're going to candidate the men, I knew they couldn't afford to candidate men and keep paying me. And so I just say, guys, I'm resigning tonight. I'm done. We're going to take care of these men. And I would stay there till they got a man, pastor, and then we would move on. And we'd go to the next city. Almost immediately, we'd go to the next city to start a church and never knew anybody in those cities. And we'd go to the next city. And I can't even explain it. We'd look back even at the time. And from the time that we left one church to the time that we started the other church, we ate. We paid our bills. The kids continued to grow and we bought clothing. Now, mind you, my wife had to work at it pretty hard and we had to be thrifty with the things. But at the same time, there was always enough. I could put myself into this lady's story and I could say it was always sufficient. And I ate every day. And I don't understand because I cleaned it out yesterday and there was meal in there again today. But by the grace of God, His grace is wonderful. Isn't it amazing that your pastor's asking you to give by faith, promise, giving? And you know what it says that's called? It says by the grace of giving. When he talks about the Macedonian people, the grace of giving. Somebody surrenders to go and serve the Lord, it's by the grace of God. Right. We've got men that are stepping out. You've got one that's going to go to the Philippines. It's by the grace of God. It won't be his great strength. You say, oh, he's got great ability. He won't do any good till he gives up his abilities and just finds that he's insufficient. But God's grace is sufficient. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you've been wrestling with what God would have you to do. I remember that day when it went from $5 a month to $10 a month, and then it went from $10 a month to $20 a month, and then it went from $20 a month to $50 a month, and every year it seemed like God would stretch it. Sometimes he would double it, and it always was there, and I would think, oh, there's no way. God, I don't understand, but God, if that's what you want us to do, and we just step out by grace, and God was always there. And I can give you the story after story of how he supplied it one after another. His grace will be sufficient for you. But you've got to be willing to step out and make the cake. You've got to say, yes, sir. I'm not just your child. I'm now a servant. And as a servant, here's my statement. Here am I, Lord. You remember the most famous time that was used in the Bible? Isaiah. He saw God high and lifted up, and he saw himself as he is. And God says, who will I send? And what did he say? Here am I. Send me. Father, we love you and ask that you'd bless this invitation. And God, just speak and use to our hearts. And God, if there's someone here that's not saved today, I pray that today you would just have your work and your way in their heart. Help them understand your grace is sufficient. And it's poured out freely, and all they have to do is be willing to just listen to you. Allow someone to take the word of God and show them the importance of your death, burial, and resurrection. And show them how that they need to quit trusting in themselves, realize they're insufficient, and they have to turn to you. And your grace will be sufficient for their eternity. Help them to see that today, Father. We ask your blessing on this service and this invitation in Jesus' name. Would you go ahead and stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a little while. Invitation's open. If God spoke to your heart, you need to come, need to pray, you need to make a decision. Would you come? God's wanting you to step out by faith this year, do something you've never done before. Why don't you come and ask him for strength? He'll give it to you. He'll meet your every need. Just got to be willing.